Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Father, this morning we just come to you. We want to declare that you are our God, our Savior, our safe place, our protector, the lover of our souls. Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. Jesus, I pray that your love, unsurpassingly, unimaginably, inconceivably, would overwhelm us right now. Lord, I just pray that we, each one of us here, would feel your embrace in a tangible way. Pray that each one here would know that you are about and around them. Lord, that they would know that they know that they know God loves me. God cares for me. God makes a way for me. Nothing can separate me from His love. Whisper it so loud in each one's hearts right here, right now. Just let your spirit flow, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Come with wave upon wave of your glory. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. More of you, God. More of you, God. Come, God. Yes, God. Desire and the actions of our hearts. Lord, grow us from desire to action, from desire to stepping into doing and living to honor you, Father. We don't know how to, God. We try, Lord. But our strength fails us, Lord. Our own cleverness fails us. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to show us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. Take us by the hand, Lord. Take us by the hand, Lord. And soaking in the glory of God, can we give our offering as our act of worship to the Lord? Yes, Lord Jesus, we worship you, God. We exalt your name. Thank you, team. That was stunning. Beautiful. This very powerful testimony of a lady that has a ministry in Southeast Asia, and she grew up, unfortunately, in a very evil home. She grew up in a satanic home. And they stayed in a normal street in the USA, a suburban street of the USA. And behind closed curtains, her father would do satanic rituals with his coven. And he was working for the American aerospace industry. But nobody knew what was going on behind closed doors. And often she'd have to stay a few months away from school because they would impregnate her and she'd produce babies that they would sacrifice without having to register the children. And this girl grew up in a horrid circumstance. At the age of 17, 18, the first chance she had to run away, she married the first marriage proposal offer person, man. And she left home with him, and obviously that marriage didn't last, ended up in divorce. And at one stage, she ended up in a church, and she cried out. He said, God, if you are real, if you exist, I hear about Jesus, I don't know you, if you are, just save me, heal me, touch me, right here, right now. And she gives her life to Christ, but she had so many personalities to cope with what was going on with her, with all the abuse that she had to go through. She developed different personalities. And she knew that she would just switch over from one person to the next as the circumstances were changing around her. And so what she would do is, she'd do this all the time. And then at one stage, she went to a service and she said, Lord, when are you going to heal me? When are you going to make me the person that you intended me for to be? When am I going to have one personality? When are you going to completely heal me? And God said, today when you take of my cup, you drink of my cup and you eat of my body, you'll be restored. And she took the communion that day in the service and God healed her completely. And then she got involved in this ministry to the Indian ladies and Southeast Asia, different. You see, on the footage, they show you ministering. They show you how she ministers to thousands of ladies because of the brokenness, rape, molestation, etc. Very strong ministry. And at one stage, she got a call that her father was busy dying. And immediately, she left everything. She'd not spoken to him, I think, for 20-plus years. She rushed back home to her original home, and she went to the hospital. The first thing on her heart was, my dad needs to get saved before he goes to hell. Yo, I must say, if I had to be honest, I don't think I'd be that kind to my dad after he did that to me. But she just welled over with the love of Christ. And she went to the hospital, and a few houses down their street, a pastor lived. They never knew about what was going on in their home. But he came to visit her dad, and he had just led her father to the Lord before she came. And she said, Daddy, are you sure? Are you sure? Can I pray again with you? And he said, yes. And she prayed again with him. And a tear ran down his cheeks. And he could say a few hardly hearable words. He said, sorry, sorry. Sorry. And this horrible man, for all that he did, is in heaven today. We're going to meet him there one day. But that's the power of God's forgiveness. It's too mind-blowing to really comprehend. It's thinkable, unthinkable, incomprehensible. And I've been plus minus about 24 years in ministry, and there's one thing that when I come across folk that has me at a loss for words, that I really have such empathy and sympathy for the people that I've spoken to that sit with this problem, this issue. And that is they manage to forgive others for the sin that was done towards them from others. They manage to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has forgiven them. This has happened over and over again. So they forgive others, they receive God's forgiveness, they know they're forgiven, but they struggle with one thing. They somehow cannot forgive themselves. It's crazy. They know God has forgiven them. They have released forgiveness for others. But somehow, what they did so horrifies them, so haunts them, that they cannot pardon themselves. They keep pointing a finger at themselves. They keep allowing shame to fill their lives. They keep allowing guilt to control them. They keep allowing their unforgiving of me, me not forgiving me, to pull them down. And you know what? That is destructive. That is very, very, very destructive. It's self-condemning. It's deprecating. It's rejection of the highest rank. And then I end up talking to these folks and I say, you know what? By you not forgiving yourself, you're saying actually indirectly to Jesus, your death on the cross was not good enough. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be nasty. But if you cannot forgive yourself and he has forgiven you, what are you saying to him? You're saying, Jesus, your death on the cross is not good enough. Lord, the punishment that you carried for me is not big enough. I have to continue punishing myself. How can we do that? And then immediately, most cases, these folks would say, no. I can never say that the death on the cross is not big enough, not good enough. How can I punish myself more than what Christ already allowed himself to be punished for my sins? Have you watched a very old movie called Mission? It's about these Catholic monks that beat themselves and carry burdens up this mountain and beat themselves so that they can somehow pay for their sins. What a waste of time. What ridiculousness. Christ has done it for you and for me. But this is such good news, it's like we struggle to believe it. We believe it with most of us, but there's a part of us that just, but fashak. And some of us bear ourselves a grudge. No matter how small it is, no matter what, somehow we do not release ourselves of wicked things that we did in the past. Who of you here have done something that you're not too proud about that you did in the past? God says, I've forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Release yourself of that debt. My punishment is good enough. Now, the fruit of not forgiving yourself is your personality becomes skewed. Saul, how did Saul end up at the end of his days? He went to go visit clairvoyants. He was jealous and threatened by David. He became totally messed up. Because he knew he was out of God's favor. He knew God had rejected him. And how can he forgive himself if God will not forgive him? And he ended up dying, killing himself. That's the fruit of unforgiveness. That's the fruit of not releasing him. But God just says to us, while you're alive on planet Earth and you have the ability to say sorry and my grace is afforded to you, you're forgiven. You are washed. You are purified by the most precious power on planet Earth, and that's the blood of the Lamb. So it skews your personality up. All unforgiveness all over. If you don't forgive someone else, if you don't receive God's forgiveness, and if you don't forgive yourself, that messes your personality up. What it also does is it wanes, it lessens your anointing. When you sit with unforgiveness towards yourself, it's like having a crow's nest in your emotions. Have you seen a fisherman that throws his fishing line out into the sea and somehow something got clogged in that fishing line? Have you seen how that fishing line becomes a crow's nest? Kraai nest in Afrikaans. Can you untangle that? What does the fisherman do to that? He just cuts it off and he throws it away. And that's what we do when we do not forgive ourselves. We destroy our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts. our thoughts, motives, actions, feelings look like that crow's nest, or muddled up, or messed up, because we will not afford ourselves the forgiveness that God gives us just by saying, God, we're sorry from the bottom of our hearts. We turn and we'll try as much as possible to not fall back into that. But without your help, we will fall back into that. But with you carrying us, we will become stronger and stronger. And it brings us to that principle. God's not interested in your falling. He's interested in you standing up after every fall. And lessons you learn after you've fallen while you're standing up. That's what God's interested in for our lives. That's what He's committed for us to do and to grow into. So, not forgiving yourself not only produces a crow's nest mess up in your emotions, feelings, your motives, your thoughts, and the inside, but it saps you of spontaneity and liberty and freedom. Suddenly, you're not excited about His love anymore. Suddenly, you don't want to share the gospel anymore. Suddenly, you don't want to be light and salt anymore because you have the stone that's pulling you down. You will not release yourself of guilt and shame. Another fruit of unforgiveness towards yourself is you lash out to others at the slightest provocation. You are short-tempered. Have any of you experienced that the last month? Only one honest person. Now I'm just teasing you. You lash out. That's a fruit of unforgiveness and a release of shame and guilt in your own life. Even though most of us are reborn Christians, you know how often Satan comes and visits you with shame and guilt? Who's had shame and guilt visit him this past week? Be honest. Look at that. And you're reborn. You're washed by the blood of the Lamb. And shame and guilt wants to come get a foothold again. And it comes from not releasing yourself of an offense. Not forgiving yourself. You are depleted of motivation when you don't forgive yourself. Your creativity, your originality, your spontaneous juices are robbed, are taken away because you will not release yourself of shame, guilt, and self-pity. Now, what is the meaning and the effect of forgiveness towards self? And you can apply it to forgiveness generally, but we're specifically focusing this morning of forgiving myself. I've studied most other religions, I think every other religion. I don't know of any other religion that gives you a clean slate like Jesus Christ does. In every other religion is what I can do to somehow get a bit of forgiveness. What can I do to get some measure of acceptance? But in Christianity, Jesus says, believe and you shall be saved. Believe and you shall be cleaned. Believe and you shall be washed. Believe, turn away, allow me to change you and you will be saved. Hinduism, they worship more than 300 million deities. Let's give them the real name, demons. They worship them. Islam, no Muslim knows for sure he's going to heaven. He thinks if he kills someone in the name of Allah, he has a good chance of going to heaven. Atheists believe in themselves. You go on and on. Buddhism is a philosophy. It's not a path to eternal life. But in Christianity, Christ comes and he says, I clean you. As white as snow, whiter than snow. I wash you pure. So that brought me to the thought. And this is the thought that stimulated this message this morning. Is the miracle that happens. The supernatural event that takes place in your heart and my heart when you know you're forgiven. Have you ever thought about that? Every time when you know I am clean. It's not a psychological thing. It's not a thing that I convince myself I'm forgiven. When you know Christ has forgiven you, you know it. Who of you have experienced that absolute washing by the blood of the Lamb? You know that you know, no matter what you've done, you know that you know, Christ bears you no grudge. He has totally forgiven you. It's a supernatural happening, and that's on the PowerPoint. It's a supernatural miracle that takes place in your conscious and your subconscious mind. You know that you are cleansed. That you can't conjure that up. You can't make up. You can't imagine I'm clean, I'm washed. Can you? Have you tried doing that? I'm forgiven. Yes, I know I'm forgiven. It doesn't work. Something supernatural happens to your heart. That you know, I am clean. I'm washed. And then some of us, with that amazing power of cleanliness, somehow we still hold on to some self-doubt. We still hold on to some self-condemnation. Even though we know we are forgiven by the Most High God. God cleans you beyond a shadow of a doubt. You don't doubt, you're forgiven. And this miracle releases freedom and liberty. We were with students in south of Russia many years ago. And they sat with condemnation, self-condemnation. They sat with issues between each other. They sat with issues with life. They come from broken homes, but they want to work for God. They saved. They want to serve Christ. And we did some crazy things with them. Nordine walked up to the one guy. I said to Nordine, we're not getting a breakthrough with these students. They just, no matter how much teaching, they are like really burdened. And she felt the Lord lead her to punch the one guy in the tummy. Some prophetic action. Some of the prophets had to walk around naked. I don't know if you know that. And this guy keeled over and he started laughing uncontrollably. And that broke the heaviness in that group. And we could all lead them to a prayer of absolute surrender and forgiveness all around. Afterwards, they were free because they'd released forgiveness to themselves and to everyone around them. They forgave and understood and loved one another. They didn't resent themselves anymore for whatever they did or had not done. And they were free. They were totally free. David had to forgive himself for what he did with Rachel. He had to forgive himself for committing adultery. He had to forgive himself for murdering not only Rachel's husband, but the men that went with him to the front of the attack, to right to the front legions of the attack. He had to release himself of that forgiveness. And we see the power of that, forgiving myself and knowing God has forgiven me. We see it in a very most powerful song that he sings in 2 Samuel 22, where he just declares the power of God. Where he just says, this is who God is. This is what the Lord has saved me from. And you see it through all the Psalms, the power of David being able to release himself of guilt. As God has washed him pure. As God has forgiven him. Another result of forgiving yourself and the meaning of forgiving yourself is that you receive healing in your emotions. Your emotions suddenly become well. Suddenly your emotions get sorted out. Let's go read it. Look at 1 Peter 2 verses 2 to 3. It says, you've had a taste of God now. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. To taste God is to taste His forgiveness. To taste God is to come to a place where you release yourself of guilt. And you start off as a baby living a life of forgiveness towards yourself, forgiveness towards others, as an infant to the breasts. And you drink deep from God. And then you start tasting His pure kindness. And eventually it results in you growing up, in maturing and discovering the wholeness of God. And you discover God in His more in His totality. Forgiveness towards yourself produces emotional healing. It produces emotional maturity. It produces freedom and liberty. Not only does this breakthrough of forgiving yourself produce emotional healing, it produces physical healing. Let's go look at Luke 5 verses 20. And it says, "And when he saw their faith," it's now Jesus, "he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" Luke 5 verse 24. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own home, glorifying God. Here, God's forgiveness of the man and his healing run hand in hand. He forgives him, and then he speaks healing out over him. So it goes together. When you know you are forgiven and you forgive yourself, you see things with a new light. When last have you spoken to a person that had just gotten saved? Radically saved. Do you remember the time when you just got saved? The next morning when you woke up, suddenly you notice the leaves of the trees are green. Suddenly you smell the scents of the flowers. Suddenly you notice how beautiful your husband or your wife is, how wonderful your children are, how wonderful your brother, your parents are. Do you still remember that? Everything you see with a new light, new perception, new eyes. That's the fruit of forgiving and releasing yourself and living, walking in his forgiveness, his constant, absolute forgiveness of you and me. You notice colors. Your eyes have opened to what's going on around you. Let's go look at an amazing psalm that speaks of our pathway to victory through forgiveness. It's Psalm 51, and it's one of the most powerful passages. I'm going to read it in the message. "You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair." David is surrendering to God. "I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then. Conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me into the foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing." These are all the fruit of David knowing he's forgiven. Of David forgiving himself. Liberty, excitement, freedom, deliverance. "Don't look too close," verses, next verse, yeah. "Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life." Isn't that powerful? Shape, where are we? Are you guys following me? Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. When is your Genesis week? Anyone? When you got saved. That's your Genesis week. It's the beginning of things. And God says, constantly live from that place. Constantly live from the place of rebirth. The Genesis week of your life. Live from that Genesis week. Because as you operate from that Genesis week, nothing will be impossible for you through me. I'll empower, embolden, help you with every challenge that comes your way. Live from the Genesis week. Restore unto me my Genesis week as your child. The next verse says, "Don't throw me out with the trash, or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails." So not forgiving yourself is a gray exile. Not forgiving yourself is having no wind in your sails. But the opposite's true. Forgiving yourself, releasing yourself of guilt, brings you back from exile, gives you position, gives you placement. and puts a fresh wind in your sails. Your Genesis week. Live every day as if it's your Genesis day. The day you got saved, the day you got baptized with the Spirit, the day you were ignited, exploded, released to seeing everything in a new light. But that gets robbed, gets sapped, gets stepped from us when we fall back into guilt and shame and self-condemnation. It's destructive. Return to your Genesis week. Don't allow unforgiveness towards self to rob you of the glory that God wants to live through you and impart into you. The next verse, give me a job teaching rebels your ways. Wow, the power of forgiving myself. I want to teach others. I want to touch others with the glory of God. Rebels, teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence. Take it away. Guard my salvation. Guard, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips. These are all the fruit of forgiving yourself and living in a life of forgiveness. Living a life of knowing I am clean. I'm washed. I am loved. Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. You can't keep in the praise towards God. It just wants to burst forth out of you. These are the amazing, powerful fruits. And in all of these verses, there's one powerful point that comes out. Your boldness is released when you give forgiveness to yourself. When you live in the forgiveness that God has for you. And when you constantly forgive others. A boldness is released. Not a withholding. And it's a boldness that we see so clearly. Let's skip the next one. If we look at Psalm 51 verses 13, it says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. To know you forgiven, to live a life of forgiveness all around, especially towards yourself, makes you a leader. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You start leading in your testimony. You start leading. You start sharing, because suddenly, wow, things start happening to you. Because you accept His love. You accept His forgiveness. And it becomes the greatest truth, the greatest reality in your life. And as you walk in that forgiveness, as you walk in that love, you start trusting God for the impossible. And as you start trusting God for the impossible, impossible things start happening in and through your life, around your life. And then you can share it with other people. And you are a witness, a testimony, a light to them. And they are drawn to your freedom, to your victory, to your breakthrough. They are drawn to you. They want to be like you because you're giving guidance. But you cannot give guidance when you do not forgive yourself as Christ has forgiven you. You cannot lead unless you forgive yourself. Unless you walk and live in that absolute freedom that Christ wants to give to you. The next point that happens when you release forgiveness, it releases the strengths, listen to this clearly, it releases the strengths of your God-given character. God has given you a specific personality for a specific job. How many of you, if you had been Christ, would have given Peter the job that Christ gave him with the many mistakes that he made? I think many of us would have said, no. Peter speaks before he thinks. Peter is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Say again. Impulsive. Yes, he's impulsive. He just jumps to the... But you know what? After Peter knew that Christ has forgiven him because Peter had denied Christ, Jesus says, feed my sheep, Peter. And God knew it's Peter's character that God needs to proclaim that he's the Messiah. Even before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Boom, just came out. Without the, just comes out. And when he saw this ghost walking on the water without even thinking, he just jumps out the boat and starts walking to Christ. And when you taste his forgiveness, and when you release forgiveness to yourself, God can nurture, can release the strength of the unique personality and character that is given each and every one of us. But if you do not release that forgiveness towards yourself and towards others, you are weighed down. And the true you who God made you to be never comes out. It gets burdened, gets pulled down. The next point, the next fruit of forgiving yourself is it affects others. It impacts others' lives with a hunger for God. When you walk a life of forgiveness and you live a life of forgiveness, it touches people around you. They cannot help but be impacted by you. And we see this so clearly with the woman at the well, the prostitute that was had the fifth man and Christ, and she came 12 o'clock. She didn't come in the mornings because the other ladies didn't like her. They would persecute her because she was a threat. She was a prostitute. So she would come in the hottest part of the day when she knew she would be alone to get water for her house. She came when Christ was there. And Christ told her a whole life, and she knew, she believed in him, and she knew she was forgiven, she was washed. And what did she go do? When she tasted forgiveness, and she lived in the forgiveness that Jesus gave her, and she forgave herself, what did she go do? She went back. And she told the whole Samaria, come meet the man that told me everything I've ever done. Come and taste from the living well, the life, the source of life, the spring of life, Jesus Christ. So living in forgiveness will affect others through your life. It will touch and impact others' lives through your life. Tasting forgiveness. The next result of tasting forgiveness is your love starts growing for Christ. How can you know that you are washed? And you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. You live in forgiveness. You live in acceptance. And not start loving the one that gives it to you. Is that possible? Once that becomes your greatest reality, your greatest truth, I am washed, I am cleansed, I am loved, and I can forgive myself, and I have forgiven myself. When you know that, you can't help but to give love back. And start appreciating Jesus Christ. And your love starts growing for your Savior. And not only does your love start growing for your Savior, you start understanding His love. When you walk in that forgiveness, you really realize nothing that I have done or will ever do will be too bad for God to accept me. Nothing that I've done or will ever do. But now, we mustn't use that as license as well. But how can you use that as license for sin when you realize this is a God that just loves and embraces you, just takes you as you are, and wants to heal you and set you free and explode within you His glory and His liberty? So it awakens and it strengthens your understanding of His love. As you live in forgiveness, it not only awakens and strengthens your understanding of His love, it strengthens your intimacy with Christ. I want to get to know, these are the next points, I want to get to know the Lord. I want a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. Because look what He has done for me. Look how He accepts me. Look how He loves me. I got no option but to be drawn towards such a loving, unconditional loving God. When you know that your slate is clean once and for all, the next one. Your slate is clean once and for all. That says to us, you know, Scripture says to us in Romans, you and I are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Have you thought about that? How can I, Mr. Sinful, be God's righteousness through Jesus Christ? And what it's actually saying is the fact that God has got so much love to forgive you exalts Him. The fact that God will forgive you once and for all for anything you've done in the past and the future, you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Hello? It's too good to be true. God's holiness, God's purity, God's magnificence is lifted, is exalted by the fact that his love is so massive, he can forgive me for whatever I've done and constantly give me forgiveness. Somehow that must change us. Somehow that must slap us left, right, and center and turn our hearts to God. This is an amazing, loving, caring, accepting God that floods my heart with forgiveness. I say to folks and I say it to everyone and to myself, and I want to challenge you, make pursuing the love that God has for you your number one pursuit and discovery in this life. If you do that, everything else will fall into place. If you choose to pursue your number one ambition in life is to pursue discovering the love of Jesus for me, if you pursue that, everything else will come right. Everything will fall into place. His love for you and for me. To find our sustenance from that. Let's go look at Hebrews 10, verses 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Let's look at the message. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. What does that say to you? You are pure. You will be sinning. You still stay pure. But God still wants you to start living a purified life. Do you see what I see? It's the two railway lines. You are righteous, but there's another railway line. Because I know I'm forgiven, because I know I'm loved, because I know I'm accepted, I want to feed off him and not feed off other things. And as I feed off Christ's love, the draw card of sin no longer has a tag on me. It releases me. I'm not interested in going that way because I'm tasting and seeing that he's good and his love is consuming me. So knowing that I'm pure, even though I know I'm not pure, but he made me pure. He's made me holy. He's made me righteous. It says it. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people, that by a single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. Let's look at the New King James back. Let's go back to that. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Those. Am I just perfect for a while? Perfected forever those who are being sanctified. When the truth and the reality of that hits you sideways and center and consumes you, you have no option. You have no option but to love him. The draw card of whatever you escape to when you're going under pressure no longer draws you. Pornography no longer has a hold. It releases you because you're feeding off his love. Lying, no longer do I want to lie. You feed off his love. Bearing people a grudge no longer holds onto you because you're feeding off his love. Your sustenance comes from his unconditional acceptance of you once and for ever. The last 2 points. Another thing that gets released when we forgive ourselves is the fruit of the Holy Spirit no longer has blockages in our lives. Whose fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is it your fruit? It's the fruit of who? Holy Spirit in and through us. But when we cannot forgive ourselves and forgive others, but especially if we cannot forgive ourselves, the release of patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, forbearance, all those amazing fruit of the Holy Spirit, they're not released. They're blocked because we cannot release ourselves of guilt, shame, and get out of self-pity. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is strengthened through us to others as we throw away these burdens of shame and unforgiveness. Last point. When you forgive yourself like Samson did, suddenly your purpose in God's kingdom and your mission is reestablished. When Samson called out to God and said, God, I've messed up. Forgive me. Give me one more chance. Give me my strength. And when he got his strength back, he could forgive himself. Because I can tell you that I know, he felt very bad that he dropped God and the Israelites. He felt so ashamed. He ran after ladies. He did everything that is possibly that's wrong. And because of that, his eyes were gouged out and he lost all his strength as they cut his hair. But those last moments between those two pillars, he called out to Christ, to God. He said, God, please, restore unto me my strength. Forgive me and let me forgive myself. Help me to release shame, doubt, and guilt. And then his purpose and his mission was restored. And he destroyed more Philistines in that one moment than he ever did before that to deliver the Israelites from their oppression. Let's close our eyes. Some of us are sitting here this morning and the Lord is speaking. I ask you all to close your eyes, please. And the Lord is speaking to you. And you realize there's one or two things that still scratch in your heart. One or two things that you really haven't released yourself of shame and guilt. It's not a full-on shame. It's not a full-on guilt. But I feel uncomfortable. I haven't released myself of this guilt. I'd like you to stand up now. We're going to pray together.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.